Get started. First, I want to recognize my brother Roger for his pretty eloquent study last week on David and as a powerful and spiritual leader. And we're going to pick up from there with David's life in 2 Samuel 7. We're just doing one chapter, and it's about 20 something verses. So we're going to actually read the whole chapter a little later on. All right. The backstory is David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. He conquered Jerusalem. And the Ark was mostly a source of God's presence and God's power for God's people. As they were wandering and looking for a place to be home, to find a place to live, to be their own. That was they were wandering in the desert. Okay. So the Ark was mostly for ancient Judaism, and it symbolizes God's presence, God's throne. And it featured a lid and a mercy seat, and it played a central role in the desert worship, and it was carried to battle. So the ark was mobile, like the first mobile phone, except it was better than a mobile phone. It was kept in a tent. It had to be mobile because the people were mobile, but David had conquered Jerusalem. So God's people had a place to live in a city, a capital for their place that God had given them. So the key question was, if we look at this one chapter, was it David's idea or God's idea to build a new house? A new temple for God, not just the people. So, was it David's idea or God's idea? Think about it. Sometimes we do things. Is it our idea or is it God's idea? So, let's consider that as we walk through this study. So, I heard a quote that's going to shed some light on this. The quote is, and we're going to say this again and again, anytime. Any place, any cost. A powerful quote. So the author of that quote was close to death and talked to God and was moved by God. The question was, what could he do for God versus what God wanted to do through him? When we think about God's will and want to know what it is, God's will for our life is very important. Our vision is often limited by what we can see and not what God can see. So think about that. When we're looking for God's will, we see, but let's consider what God can see in order to find His will. So we pray and we're open for God's will, and we look for God's will through eyeglasses of our own limitations. So let's not put on our glasses to see what God can see. Let's prayerfully find God's will through what His vision is for us. So if we are truly committed and obedient and truly prepared for God's will, we should pray anytime, any place. Any price. Okay. But beware, it's a dangerous prayer. The first thing God will do is to check. Are you honest? Are you committed? Are you dedicated? Are you ready? Are you willing? Do you understand the consequences of that prayer? Sometime we heard you should never say, Lord, I'm going to pray for patience. You'll get it. But if we're truly ready, God is going to change your lives. He's going to change my life, change your life, if we pray that prayer. So the phrase, any place, any time, any cost, is similar to, and the origin of that was a phrase called no reserves, no retreat, no regrets. It's kind of a military phrase going into war. No reserves. So you may run out of supplies. No retreats. You're not going to fail. You refuse to fail. And no regrets. It's going to be hard, but there will be no regrets. That was used by a guy called William Borden, 1887-1993. He was born 1887 to 1993. So how old was he? No, he's born in 1887. And so 13 more years would be 2000 or 1900. And then he died in 1913, another 13 years. So 13 plus 13, he was 26 years old. Part of the Borden family. Remember Borden milk, Borden cream cheese and all that? It was a fortune, big company. He was one of the sons. He was born into wealth. He didn't have just a silver spoon. He had a silver milk bottle, a silver car, and everything. He didn't have to do anything. But what happened was he became a believer. He was very young, very wealthy. He gave up his fortune to become a missionary. Okay? And we could see he wasn't very old when he'd made that decision. And while he did not get to live very long, he died at 25, 26. That phrase, anytime, any place, any cost, is attributed to him because he became a believer and decided to go to Muslim believers in Egypt to be a missionary. And on his trip there, he caught spinal meningitis and died.
Wow.
So it's hard to figure out why that happened, but in that context, it almost was he was fully committed and he was ready for heaven. And he was an example to others. And God just decided, I'd like your attitude. You need to be up here with me. So he's now anytime, any place, any cost, but in heaven. Okay. So David, let's get back to David. He had that same approach. He was relentless. He was fully dedicated. He was just like this Borden, William Borden person. Okay. He was a shepherd from Bethlehem who became a king. Okay. And he was anointed by Samuel. He defeated Goliath even as a youth. And he ran as a fugitive to save his life and to save the kingdom. He did that for 15 years. And then he unified Israel by conquering Jerusalem. So he was in God's will through all of that. All right. David conquered Jerusalem. He did it for God. God gave him the power, and through David's being in God's will, it was successful. He brought the ark to Jerusalem. And then David wanted to build a house suitable for the ark. Okay, the Ark of the Covenant. So what kind of house did David want to build? You think it was in a tent? It was a cloth tent. But he wanted to build a temple. The competing religions and the competing little g gods, they would have great buildings and temples. So David thought, our God is much more powerful than all of those, our God deserves a house that is superior, a place that would honor God, a place that would represent God, a place that people would go to and say, wow, look at that building. That is the biggest, that is the most powerful building. And inside, there would be a little Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. Okay, that's the kind of house David wanted to build. Okay, but why would God not just accept David's offer for the house? So as we read the story, we're going to find out it didn't happen that way for David. It actually happened for Solomon to build an actual temple. So let's look at the purpose of a house. A house today, your house, is where we live. It's a place of security. It's a place of comfort. It's a place of history, place of family, place of food. Did I say food? Place of food. I like food. But it also represents you in the neighborhood. People look at your house and compare it. They look at your grass. Don't look at my grass. And compare it. So a house is kind of representative. It's a physical, but it's also a spiritual representative of you and where you live. So what's going to happen is David is going to work with Nathan. And Nathan was the prophet. Guess what? Nathan was the prophet who caught David in adultery with Bathsheba and told David, basically, he deserved to die. Anyone who did that deserved to die. And David said, yes, we should kill that person. He said, guess what, David? It's you. And that just broke David down. But guess what? Nathan the prophet is still around with David. David as king, he could have cut off Nathan's head, said, you know what? I didn't like that. But he kept Nathan. He was a holy man, and David recognized that. Okay. So when Nathan heard David wanted to build a house, Nathan actually told David, that should be fine. So what we're going to do, we're going to read a whole chapter and then look at some of the impact of how it all worked out. So starting with 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, here I am living in a house of cedar, while the ark of the God remained in a tent. Nathan replied to the king, whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is God is with you. And that was an important thing. The Lord God is with you. Recall Jacob. He was born, and they said, he is touched. The Lord God is with him. But his brothers sold him into slavery. He went to Egypt. But everything that happened in his life after that, the success, the forgiveness, the challenges, God had touched his life and guaranteed that what he would do, even for his work, his job, would be successful. The Lord God is with him. The same way Nathan thought the Lord God was with David. So he told David, go ahead and do whatever you want. The Lord God is with you. But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, wait a minute. Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord said. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I thought the Israelites up and brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever see any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel? Why have you not built me a house of cedar? So God is saying, yeah, I deserve a house, and you deserve to build me one. God says he never had a house before, but then he continues. And we're talking about a house that God designs. Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the sheep and the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut out from all your enemies before you. And here's an important line. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people, Israel, and will join them and plant them as that, so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. So God is basically saying, David, instead of having you build a house, I'm going to build the house. Okay. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. And another important quote, I will also give you rest from all your enemies. So two things. God said, wait, David, let me build a house and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Okay, goes on. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. Now, this is getting a little more involved. God is going to not build a structure. He's going to establish a house. Now we can look at house more than just a building. When your days are over and your rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. So when your days are over, David, from this house I'm building for you and your offspring, I will raise up a person to be leader of a kingdom. Okay, it's beginning to point to someone. He, that person, is the one who will build a house for my name. So sometime in the future, God is going to bring someone to really show what the house of God is for David and all the people who belong to God. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever, and that house will last forever. You think you've got a metal roof on your house? This house has got such a structure that it will last forever. So now we're beginning to see David wanted to build a physical structure with a physical location, a physical address, a building that people can go into. God said, yes, we can build something. I am going to build this. And then he takes off and says, this house, this legacy, this part of the kingdom that I will set up will be built. He said, I will be his father and he will be my son. God the Father and he will be the son. When he does wrong, this is interesting. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. So at some point, he will actually, this house, this new legacy building being built for David, will be led by a person so powerful, but they will be subjected to pain, suffering, flogging. God would allow that. Interesting that he would say it as describing the house. But my love will never be forsaken or taken away. as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. So Nathan reported to David all the words of this revelation. So we can see God basically said, David, you know what? You got the right idea. You want to build a house, but let's do it my way. Okay. So here's David's prayer. And we'll read that. And then I think we'll have some time for just a refresh. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough for your sight, sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant and the decree, sovereign Lord, is for a mere human. What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, sovereign Lord, for the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done the great thing and made it known to your servant. So David basically is agreeing. Yes, Lord, I agree with you. I accept this as your will. I will consider anytime, any place, any cause. How great you are, sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there's no God like you, as you have heard with our own ears. And who is like the people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself and to make a name for himself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods and before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt. You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. Okay. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you promise, so that your name will be great forever. Then people will say, the Lord Almighty is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established in your sight. Okay. One more paragraph. Lord God Almighty of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. Sovereign Lord, you are God. Your covenant is trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, sovereign Lord, have spoken with your blessing. The house of your servant will be blessed forever. So some key phrases here. God said, I will make your name great, David. Consider David and what happened after this, but David and the heritage he has in the New Testament. Israel will have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. There'll be a place where they can have security. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord himself will establish a home for you. I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish your kingdom Who would be an offspring of David with an eternal kingdom? Who is the offspring of David with an eternal kingdom? We know that. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. Yet God will let him be flogged and beaten. My love will never be taken away from him. God's love will never leave him. So David's house, built by God, will endure forever before God. All right, we have some questions. And the questions are about houses. So let's pray. Oh Lord, we sit here in this really nice, comfortable church building. Thank you that we can come and read your word and learn from you. But help us, Lord, to hear your voice so clearly that you are asking us to say anytime, any place, any cost, a scary, very dangerous, powerful acceptance of your will. So we ask for that, Lord. Thank you. In your name, amen.